Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the In the Truck podcast. Excuse me. I'm your host, as always, Dennis M. Brown. Today's episode is brought to you by my book, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis, available now at Amazon.com and the Kindle Market Store, whatever it's called. Now also available on Kindle. They emailed me last night at 10 p.m. that it would be available on Friday in the Kindle store, and then they emailed me at 4 a.m. that it was available now. So whatever that means, somebody stayed up late over at Amazon, Kindle, and got that all straightened out. So it's available now, very reasonably priced in either format. And, oh my goodness, excuse me. And essentially the book is in response to some leftists besmirching masculinity in general and the general trend in society to downplay the role and necessity and benign nature of men and masculinity. And so it is the antidote to what ails us as a society. Definitely worth checking out. Amazon.com, Kindle, store, market, place, whatever it's called. So the big news in all the lefty circles today is that Chris Collins, a congressman from New York State, where I live, and I didn't even look up where he's from, but he's a Republican congressman in the United States Congress, so he's got to be somewhere upstate, probably out near Buffalo, was arrested, and the headlines all say he was arrested for insider trading. In fact, that is a lie. I don't have to do very much research to prove to you that is a lie, because it's on Slate.com, it's on Huffington Post. Republican congressman arrested for insider trading. No, he wasn't. And the reason I know he wasn't is because Congress passed a law exempting themselves from insider trading. It is 100% legal for an elected member of Congress to receive insider information from companies or Wall Street and make investment decisions with that information. It is illegal for you to do so. I know how much you all love that noise. Sorry. So I found out about this whole thing with insider trading when I was researching Obamacare back in 2008. And I realized in reading the law, which I did not read the entire thing of, and I don't think any human being alive actually has read the entire thing. And if they have, I'm terribly sorry that you've been through that. But the Congress exempted themselves from Obamacare as well. So their health care did not change. They went out of their way to write into the law that Congress was specifically exempt from any provision of the law. So the health care that was available to Congress people who voted for you to get Obamacare, the law itself says that they do not have to get it, pay a fine to not have it. The plans that they have are not beholden to Obamacare. They do not have to... Yeah, they don't have to have the plans that you have to have, nor pay the prices you have to pay, nor anything else. They exempted themselves from that. And that got me interested in things that Congress had exempted themselves from. So they make laws that are applicable to the entire country with the exception of themselves, and they write those in there. And amongst them is insider trading. Congress is exempt from insider trading. It's 100% okay for a congressman to have a meeting with a representative from a drug company with some fancy new drug in trial and find out before the public finds out that the drug will not be approved, and then go sell their shares of the stock before the bottom falls out. That's legal. If you were to work for that company, or your dad was to work for that company, or your neighbor, and you were to get that same information and you acted on it and sold your shares, you would be guilty of insider trading, much like Martha Stewart, and go to prison. Now, I think she also lied to investigators, but the thing that they were investigating her for was a friend of hers told her there was some problem with a company, and so she sold her shares in it. And that is illegal. Unless you're in Congress. So Chris Collins, the Republican representative to Congress from New York State, was not arrested for insider trading, will not be investigated for insider trading, and no matter what he did, will not be charged with insider trading. Now here's where it gets sticky and tricky and weirder, and even weirder than legislators legislating themselves privileges that you don't have, freedoms that you don't have. He told his son about the whatever inside information he had, and his son acted upon it. Now, it is not illegal for a congressman to trade on inside information. It is illegal for a congressman to share insider information with somebody who's not in Congress. So if Chris Collins had called another congressman or sent an email to another congressman or woman and said, "Hey, I just got this thing. I know you're invested in this company. It's time to get out." Or, "Hey, I got this great tip of this great thing that's going to happen. You should buy this company now." That's legal. It's legal for him to trade and profit off the information. It's legal for him to share it with other people in Congress. It is not legal for him to share it with anyone outside of Congress. That's what he was arrested for. He was arrested because he shared the information that he had received, that he legally can receive and act upon, with his son, who is not a congressman. His son then acted on it. His son was then arrested for insider trading, and he was arrested for providing the information to his son. Now, I totally understand how media bias works. We talked about this yesterday. Obviously, the Huffington Post and Slate.com, and I'm sure Vox is on it, I'm sure everybody, are biased news outlets. They are biased against conservatives and Republicans, which I'm totally fine with. There's no problem there. And they're obviously going to report the negative news about the Republican congressman, where, like, let's say when Charlie Rangel gets caught having a $5 million estate in the Dominican Republic and didn't pay his taxes, nobody wants to talk about that. So I get why that happens, you know? That's why Fox News should exist, and Fox News should exist because they will talk about Charlie Rangel while other outlets will ignore it. Or like when Antifa confronts Candace Owens and calls her white supremacist, that's not going to be on CNN, obviously, because it doesn't fit the story they're trying to tell you about America. That Republicans and white people are racist. Although the Antifa people were white, so it might fit into the white people are racist part, but they always exempt themselves from it. Like, not the liberal white people, the other white people. But I digress. But what makes me mad about the coverage is the story isn't that the congressman was arrested for giving his son information. Well, first of all, the story isn't that he was arrested for insider trading, because he wasn't. That's a lie. Or just totally lazy journalism. In any case, it's not true. But the story shouldn't even be that he was arrested for passing the information along to his son, which is actually true. But that's not the story. The story is the United States Congress has exempted themselves from laws that you are under the thumb of. And it's not just insider trading and Obamacare. There are other examples. It is a regular practice for Congress to include clauses in legislation to exempt themselves from the legislation. So they are voting to see fit that you would be beholden to a law, a regulation, a rule, a civil or criminal fine or penalty, when they will not be. So there are things in this country that are 100% illegal. Some of them are felonies that are legal for Congress because they voted to do it to themselves. And no congressperson from either party ever runs on ending that. No congressperson from either party ever talks about it being bad or negative. They just slurp it up. So the greatest reformers in the history of Congress who've gone to fix Washington, when they get there and find out they have special privileges by being elected to Congress, they don't suddenly decide they want to change it. It's not a narrative that you hear. It doesn't happen. Now, I'm sure somebody knows of one congressman at one time or another who said something about wanting to end it. But did he really? Did he really do anything to try to end it? Like, come on. Has a law actually been brought to the floor that says that Congress shouldn't have any special privileges, that they're regular citizens of America and should be beholden to all the same laws as American citizens are beholden to? No. That's the story, you idiots. But the left's new thing is they're totally obsessed with this idea that now that Trump is president, government is bad. Where up until now, government was great. If it's a Democrat Congress run by Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama as president, government is the greatest thing that ever happened. But now, government's bad. But still, somehow they missed the story. The real story is the fact that it's not illegal for the congressman to get the inside information and make trades and make millions and millions of dollars. Why do you think all these people who are quote-unquote public servants who are elected to positions at the lowest body of the federal government become millionaires? Why is Nancy Pelosi a millionaire? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Nancy Pelosi, and it's not just Nancy Pelosi, and it's not just Democrats. This is the thing that elected representatives do, has gone out and gotten herself, using her power and influence and her connections, gotten herself all kinds of sweetheart real estate deals, that I believe her husband is the one who owns the real estate company, on the waterfront in San Francisco, and made millions and millions and millions of dollars. And that's not everybody's trick. Not everybody's buying waterfront property in San Francisco for a penny and selling it for a billion. That's just Nancy Pelosi's trick. But they've all got something. They've all got a thing in their home district that's going on that makes them lots and lots of money. That's how they all become rich. That's why they all leave office millionaires. They make like $125,000, $135,000 a year. It goes up all the time. Maybe it's up a little higher than that. But essentially, they make about that much money. They get a little budget for an office to pay their staff. And 10 years later, they've got $50 million. Well, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because they're doing all kinds of shady deals and taking advantage of situations where they are not beholden to the same laws you are. If your neighbor worked for a pharmaceutical company, I already used that example. Let's say your neighbor works for a company that makes lawnmowers. And he comes over and he's talking to you and he's like, man, I'm so excited. Work's been going so well. We've got this new product that's forever going to change the lawnmower. I don't know how it's different. It doesn't take gas. It hovers. It's the tires don't go flat. I don't know. It's the greatest lawnmower that ever existed. And nobody knows yet. It's so exciting. If you go after hearing that from your neighbor and buy shares in that company and it's later found out that you knew insider information from somebody that worked at the company, that's illegal. Unless you're in Congress. That's the story. Come on, media. Get with the program. You're seriously going to let this nonsense just go? The whole purpose of the American media, the reason that the media is important, the role that they claim to serve is to protect the American people. From what? From the government of the United States. And from the state government and from city government. Yeah, they report the news, but the investigative reporting needs to be into corrupt business practices and corrupt government practices. And there is no pushback against government in the media, in the real media. The legacy media, newspapers, network television, CNN, MSNBC, none. And not really Fox News either, by the way, although they have a more conservative perspective. They're not exactly out there on a daily basis exposing the misdeeds of the United States government or state governments. It's just not what they do. But it's what they're supposed to do. How do you sleep at night? Good God. And you write that stupid headline that a guy was arrested for insider trading. No, he wasn't. The story is that he wasn't arrested for insider trading. And why wasn't he arrested for insider trading? He wasn't arrested for insider trading, and he wasn't because the United States Congress has elected themselves and voted themselves and legislated themselves into a special class of human beings. That's the swamp. At the end of the day, that's what the swamp is. The swamp is a bunch of bureaucrats and lobbyists who are feeding at the trough of elected officials who've chosen to make themselves above the American people. There you go. There's your swamp. That's all it is. But somehow or another, because Trump is saying drain the swamp, although I don't know that how much he's done to really drain the swamp, but now they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the fact that the government of the United States is corrupt. Plain and simple. Institutionalized corruption. Multi-generational corruption. It's been going on so long, nobody even thinks anything about it. I'm not a big Glenn Beck fan, but I remember years ago with the Tea Party movement, there was a guy that called into his radio show and said he was running for Congress. I forget where the guy was from, Oklahoma maybe, something like that. I never followed it to see if the guy actually won his thing. He was going to run for Congress. And he's calling Glenn Beck because he said Glenn had inspired him to run. And Glenn Beck took the call on the air on his radio program, which may not even still exist. I don't really know. But Glenn Beck's response to the guy is he shouldn't do that. And the guy's like, no, you inspired me. I want to do this. It's going to be so great. And then Beck kept trying to talk him out of it, and the guy wouldn't be talked out of it. And Beck finally said something to him that I actually appreciate. Like I said, I'm not the biggest Glenn Beck fan. Not the biggest fan of his program or what he does or his little shtick, any of that. But he said to this guy, I hope that you, if you are going to run and if you win, I hope that you're the first person to ever go to Washington, D.C. and come home with a soul. And I think that's right. I think that the existence of the ruling class and all of the people who are surrounding Washington, D.C. to feed at the trough is so horribly corrupt that I don't think anybody can go there and really come home with their soul. I think that it's a bad place with bad things going on, and the types of compromises that these people make ruin you. You don't ever, I don't think you ever recover from compromising your principles to the extent that is necessary to survive in Washington, D.C. So there's probably a case of somebody going to Washington for 2 years, getting voted out and being fine, but anybody who sticks around a while, they're filthy. So they talk about term limits. I'm like, yeah, that's a 2-year term limit. Once. You can go once. Then you're done. My dad had a funny idea years ago. He said, you should move the Capitol to Kansas City, Missouri. And I said, why? So, because it's in the middle of the country? And he's like, no, because Washington, D.C. is just done. It's so ruined. The entire city's built around this concept. You just move the thing out of there. People won't want to go to Kansas City. I don't think people wouldn't want to go, but I do think that if you did move the Capitol every few years, that would just make it more difficult for these entrenched bureaucrats and lobbyists to really get a foothold. Although it wouldn't be impossible. You might have to move it every year. You'd see some sort of weird tent city popping up near the Capitol. Although if you moved it multiple times a year, that might work. Like every time Congress meets, they meet in a different place. That'd be interesting. I just think that the slime would follow them everywhere they went. But we should have a constitutional amendment. I know there's talks of having another convention. They're trying to get a bunch of states to agree to have a constitutional convention. And I think a ton already have. I think they're only a few away from getting enough to actually have the convention. Which I don't know what would happen in a constitutional convention in 2018 or 20 or whenever they get around to it, if they ever do it. I'm not convinced that that would be so super great either, but why not just have a constitutional amendment that Congress may pass no law that exempts them from any other law? It seems like just common sense. It seems like the kind of thing that if the founders of our country and the people who ratified the Constitution had even thought of it, they probably would have included it, but I don't think it ever crossed their mind to exempt themselves from laws. Although they did pass the Alien and Sedition Acts and arrest political enemies, so, hey, nobody's perfect, right? When everyone talks about the Founding Fathers' dedication to liberty and the Republican ideals, it only took them 9 years to start arresting each other. So maybe they weren't that committed or dedicated. But yeah, the whole Chris Collins thing drives me crazy, that kind of reporting. Most people aren't going to dig into it. Most people don't know. So they're going to read that headline, never read the article. And if they're Democrats, they're going to say, ah, these Republicans are so corrupt. The 1% business people, they are ruining our country with their corrupt business practices and profits and whatever. They're never going to read the article. Where in the article, it doesn't actually say he was arrested for insider trading, because that's not what happened. And they're not going to ask themselves, if they do read the article, why didn't he get arrested for insider trading? Or what's the difference between insider trading and passing insider information along to a third party, which is what he was actually arrested for? So then none of that's going to happen. So they're going to read that headline and maybe read the article. Let's say of every 100 people that read the headline, five read the article. And of those five of them will not question it. They're not going to question the story, the narrative. The media could do better, man. They could do a whole lot better. You know, when Trump says the CNN is the enemy of the American people, I agree. Or the fake news media is the enemy of the American people, I agree. I think he's saying it because they don't like him. I'm saying it because they legitimately are. They legitimately aren't telling you the truth about a host of things that matter. And this is just one small thing. It's not the end all and be all. But I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. We keep talking about it, I guess. I don't know if there's a solution. I mean, certainly, without a constitutional amendment, Congress is not going to restrict their own ability to skirt the laws of the United States of America that they impose upon you. And if the news media is not willing to tell the truth about what Congress is doing because they want to be friends with whoever, then regular people aren't going to find out about it. So as I've said many times before, nothing in the world bores me more than party politics or electoral politics. It's all stupid nonsense. I guess that's part of the point with the whole congressman arrested for insider trading headline, is it's a gotcha moment. Like, oh, we're on the Democrat team and the Republican is naughty. When in reality, it's a whole bunch of people on one team that none of us are on. The political elite team. And my ultimate objection with the mainstream media is that they cozy up to those people because they too want to slurp at the teat of corruption rather than expose it. Which is why I say nice things about Abby Martin as an independent journalist. I believe she's independent, or she may work for somebody, I don't know, but essentially operates as an independent journalist, traveling and meeting people and seeing things and reporting on them. And she doesn't, although she and I do not at all have the same perspective on life in general, and she's a dyed-in-the-wool socialist, if not an outright communist. But at least she's out there reporting on things that are actually happening that she's seeing. And if you view it with the lens of understanding that she's coming from a biased perspective of a far-left individual, there's real information in there. You can sort of glean from the report any of it that's opinion and any of it that's fact. So she'll say things like Barack Obama was a terrible president for continuing the drone program that she opposed under George W. Bush. Well, that makes perfect sense. That's a person who's telling the truth. Somebody who said George Bush was terrible because of the drone program and Barack Obama is a fantastic president is just a liar or ignorant. In any case, there was a special election in Ohio last night. Not a primary. A lot of these elections you're hearing about right now are primaries. This was actually a special election from a seat that was left vacant. And every state has their own way to deal with these kinds of things. But in Ohio, they're having an election in August. And the seat will be filled from this election. And then in November, there'll be another election. You know, they're not... All congressmen are voted every 2 years. So the fact that the seat was vacated so close to the general election isn't relevant. They didn't wait. They had a special election just for that seat. And in all the party politics, electoral politics chatter about the blue wave that's coming in opposition to Trump or the red storm that's coming in favor of Trump, whatever. We got a country full of prognosticators. Everybody's the groundhog when it comes to elections. One of the biggest takeaways from the 2016 election is that polling and people who tell you they know how elections will end are full of crap. On election day, Hillary Clinton had a 96% chance or 94% chance or whatever of being the next president. Everyone knew it. They didn't think it. They knew Trump couldn't win. There was no way because they had all the data. Well, all that data was crap. It was crap data. But here we are, 2 years later, prognosticating what's to come. The Democrats are saying they're going to take over the House of Representatives and impeach Trump. And the Republicans are saying they're going to take control of the Senate and have a whatever. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to have. My personal opinion is I prefer when one party controls one House of Congress and the other party controls the other House of Congress, because that leaves them in less capable of ruining our lives. As long as they agree to stop each other from anything that they're trying to do. So nothing gets done. That's why, coincidentally, my favorite president is Grover Cleveland. Among other things, this has nothing to do with the podcast today, but it's important every time we can talk about Grover Cleveland, we probably should do so. Grover Cleveland was president of the United States twice. Now, prior to being president of the United States, Grover Cleveland was the sheriff of Erie County, which is the county near, or that, either it's near Buffalo, New York, or Buffalo, New York is in it. In either case, he was a frugal man. And he realized on his staff he had a full-time executioner, and there had not been an execution in a number of decades. And so he had an employee he was paying to not do anything at all. So he eliminated the position of executioner and was asked what will happen if there's an execution. And he chuckled and said that there wouldn't be one. There hadn't been one in a long time. But if there was one, he would do it himself. And he said that publicly in the paper, because the paper opposed him firing this city worker. Well, wouldn't you know, about a year later, there's a capital murder in Erie County. The trial ended in a guilty conviction with a sentencing of death. So Grover Cleveland is actually the only person who ever was president of the United States who we know for a fact killed a man not in a battle. So there are a number of presidents who were soldiers or in the military and fought in wars. So we can assume that they probably were effective at it and either personally or commanded troops who killed people. But Grover Cleveland's the only president that we know of that ever actually killed a man. Now, it was legal. It was a court-ordered execution. But nonetheless, that makes him pretty cool. In company to himself. But so, and then he was elected president twice. Both times he didn't seek the nomination of his party. So twice, well, he ran three times, sort of. So the Democrats couldn't come to a decision about who to nominate for president at their convention. They fought it out and fought it out and fought it out. And finally, realizing they couldn't agree, somebody proposed that they nominate Grover Cleveland, who I think at that time was governor of New York State. And they agreed that they could agree on Grover Cleveland, so he was nominated, then he won the election. Then he ran for president, obviously, the next 4 years later, and lost. And then he went to go do whatever he was doing. I think he was a lawyer and back home. And wouldn't you know, at the end of the next 4 years, the Democrats had their convention, and once again, they couldn't agree. So they decided they could agree on Grover Cleveland again. So he agreed, accepted the nomination, ran for president, won a second time. So he ran for president three times, lost once, never really seemed to want the job. Then, so that's, I like that. I like a president who doesn't want to be president. So Washington and Grover Cleveland, I believe, are the only presidents we've ever had who didn't want to be president. So they're in elite company with each other. Then, as president, he holds the all-time veto record. Because Grover Cleveland vetoed everything. He determined that literally everything that Congress wanted to do that wasn't spelled out in the Constitution was unconstitutional, regardless of the fact that it was his own party that was passing the legislation and vetoed it. I like a guy like that. So yeah, he's my favorite president ever. Grover Cleveland's the man. So they're having this election. Everybody can tell you what's going on, who's going to win, blah, blah, blah. Ohio, special election for this one congressional seat. And supposedly, you know, every election is tells you what the country thinks about the president. So when Roy Moore ran in for the Senate in Alabama and lost, it was because Alabama rejected Trump. No, it wasn't. It's because Roy Moore is a terrible candidate. It's like Trump. Trump didn't win because America is more Republican than they were when Obama was in office. Trump won because he's a better candidate than the other alternative. You like it or not, the country sees everything binary when it comes to the political parties, and they see they have two choices, and the better candidate usually wins. Obama was a better candidate than both Mitt Romney and John McCain. Trump was a better candidate than Hillary Clinton. The guy that ran against Roy Moore was a better candidate than Roy Moore. Forget all this other stuff. It doesn't say anything about the president. It didn't help the whole thing with the girls coming forward saying all this stuff, but that wasn't his only problem. He was not a super popular guy to begin with. Anyway, so the special election in Ohio is going to tell us all we need to know about the upcoming midterm elections. Never mind that the election that's coming up in Ohio is going to be redone in November. Forget all that. So there's three candidates running for this empty congressional seat, a Democrat, a Republican, and a Green Party. And it ended up being very close. I know nothing about Ohio or its politics or its districts or anything. I don't know. Who cares? Close election. The Republican wins by, 1,800 votes. The Green Party guy got 1,200 votes, or girl, I don't know which, got 1,200 votes. And the Democrats are mad at the Green Party. It was a Republican seat before. It's a Republican seat again. But it's the Green Party's fault. Never mind that the math doesn't add up. So all kinds of Green Party hate today. All the Green Party's ruining everything. They're LARPing. They're the worst. Green Party, terrible, terrible, terrible. And then I saw it. The Green Party is controlled by the Russians. Excuse me. So the Green Party's terrible. They're helping the Republicans, and they're controlled by the Russians. The Russians are running the Green Party to try to ruin the Democrats' chances. The Russian influence in the 2016 election is known. There's no more secret about what happened. They had a bunch of online accounts that were trying to sway the election towards Donald Trump. They also had a bunch of online accounts that were personas that were advocating for Black Lives Matter. They also had accounts that were advocating for Jill Stein. And they also had accounts that were advocating for Bernie Sanders. Now, it's easy to look at all that information and say, wow, they just hated Hillary. It's not that they hated Democrats, they hated Hillary. But that's not the case. What really was going on is the Russians believed the American media that Hillary was going to win no matter what. So the tactic, and we do the same thing, don't kid yourself, every intelligence agency has some sort of operation to do this, to sow dissent and distrust and division in countries that you're competing against in any number of different ways. So the idea was to get people to like Trump and get more people to like Black Lives Matter or hate it, get more people to like Jill Stein and Bernie Sanders so that Hillary would be less effective of a leader because she would be ruling a divided people. That's what it was about. The whole thing was about. It had nothing to do with wanting Trump to win. They didn't think they could get Trump to win. If they thought of it, they might have tried it, but they never thought of it. Anyway, that's all nonsense. But the whole blue wave, red storm, stupid, man. Golly. Every election's going to be contested in the district that it's held in. And every congressional candidate is either one of two things. In a totally gerrymandered district, so nothing can change, will change, is going to change. Or, they're in a competitive district and the better candidate's going to win. That's just the way it works. Sorry, I don't know anything about the people who ran the seat in Ohio. The Green Party didn't have the best candidate. Especially in a congressional district when you're talking about a couple thousand votes. Whatever. These people win these elections with 100,000 votes. The best candidate is going to win. You don't need a party. I mean, the party helps, I guess. There's people who probably just show up and pull the lever for their party. But you don't even need that nonsense. You could run a good campaign, be a great candidate, you're going to win. No, it's the Russians controlling the Green Party, making the Democrats lose. So that's funny. I think it's funny. I think it's funny when a political party and their supporters lose an election and try to spin it into being good news. We didn't lose it by as badly as last time is my all-time favorite. And they were doing that in Ohio. We lost by less than normal. Yeah, it's also a special election that nobody voted for. I think the guy that was the congressman had won, you know, with between a non-presidential year, like 150,000. Excuse me, 150,000 votes, and in a congressional year, you know, like 200, 250,000 votes. And then this election, I think the total number of people who voted was less than 50,000. Nobody showed up. So you can't really take a whole lot away from it. It's not a very good sample size. But when you start predicting the blue wave or the red storm, then all these stupid things matter that don't really matter to you. That's not your congressman. Unless you live there, unless you live in that district in Ohio, it's not even your congressman. What do you care who it is? It doesn't make any difference. But when you become the prognosticator of electoral party politics, then you got reputation on the line. Now these stupid things matter to you when they shouldn't. Then you start saying dumb things about how you lost by less than last time, or the Russians made the Green Party help you lose even though the math doesn't add up, whatever the case may be. Ultimately, I think the lesson here is that electoral politics is boring and dumb. And we should do everything we possibly can to limit the power of the federal and the state governments to make them as weak as possible so that they don't have the power to ruin our lives with their corruption and their laws to help themselves and their stupid elections and all this other nonsense. The most powerful entity in the country should be the county. Second most powerful, the town or your city. Third, state. Fourth, federal. That's how it should go. Not top down, federal can do anything they say, ridiculous. Nonsense. Who says the federal government is more powerful than the state governments? The federal government says so. Well, what a coincidence. So listen, I hope you all have a fantastic day. If you were waiting to get The Toxic Masculinity Crisis until it came out on Kindle, it's out! So for the people who have been messaging me from all over the world that don't want to pay for shipping, like Nestor in South Africa, today's your day, brother. No shipping. Kindle it up. So thanks for tuning into the podcast. I hope everyone has a fantastic Wednesday. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.